So, good afternoon. My name is Peter Kurfürst, and I'm a PhD student on the Masaryk University in Czech Republic. And I collaborate, for example, with Jiří Krtička and Achim Feldmayer from Potsdam University, and so on. And I will partly follow the conclusions made by Atsuo here, and I will talk about the decretion disks of critically rotating stars, because in our work we study the outflowing disks of critically or nearly critically rotating stars, which is connected with the problem of BE stars or B bracket E stars. And as Atsuo said here, the viscosity, of course, provides the main mechanism for transporting the angular momentum outwards. Since the specific angular momentum increases with radius in the region of the in the Keplerian region, the disk is unlikely Keplerian far from the star. And the viscosity profile remains uncertain, or more precisely said, the viscous coefficient or viscous parameter remains not quite certain. And the magnetorotational instability is considered to be the main source of the anomalous viscosity in such disks. So I very briefly show the basic hydrodynamic equations of this problem. So there is a continuity equation. Here is the equation of motion with the viscous term or the viscous force term, the energy equation, and the system is enclosed by the state equation, either in its general form or in the isothermal form, where the A squared is the sound speed squared. And in our one-dimensional models, we work with the integrated or column density sigma, and the shear viscous stress looks like this, where the eta is the dynamic viscosity and the alpha is the Shakura-Sunayev viscosity parameter, A is the sound speed, H is the vertical disk scale height, and the kinematic viscosity nu looks like this, and here the alpha is or maybe defined as a fraction of the turbulent velocity over the sound speed. And here is the viscous term, and in our simulation we use the full second order prescription of the viscosity, while most authors use only this first-order viscosity prescription. But to our knowledge, for example, in the Keplerian region, this full prescription gives the values of viscosity 150% more than in case when we use only the first term, first-order term. So, and this simple animation shows the convergence of the density, it is the blue line, and the rotational velocity, it is the green line, and the radial velocity of the disk, it is the red line, up to quite distant regions. And in our time-dependent models, there is a wave that converges on, or that changes the initial state to the final stationary state. And because of the initial density profile, we regard this wave as a physical wave, not only some numerical artifact. And the magnitude or the amplitude and the velocity of this wave depends on various physical conditions in the stellar surroundings, above all on the distribution of the density around the star. And this wave may also determine the time scale of disk growth and disk dissipation phases.
And sigma 1?
Pardon?
What is sigma 1?
Oh, sigma 1, sigma 1 is the density of behind this front. Yeah, and sigma 0 is the density in front.
Perturbed density, that's the perturbed surface density over the mean background sense density. Is it the perturbation density over the background density?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. And the time of the propagation of this wave we regard as the dynamical time, but the disk evolution time we associate, of course, with the viscous time. It is the time scale on which the matter diffuses through the disk due to the viscous torques. And on these pictures, there is a final stationary state of the time-dependent simulation. There are the 1D simulation. This is partly similar to what shows Atsuo. Here is the scaled density profile. It is a sigma density over the density in this point in the or on the stellar equator. It is the boundary density. Here is the also scaled the rotational velocity, which is scaled over the Keplerian velocity. So if all the rotational velocity were Keplerian, it would be constant here in this graph. And here is seen that at some radius the rotational velocity changes to the angular momentum region, and here it is Keplerian, and the radial velocity is scaled over the sound speed. So at this radius we have the sonic point or the critical point, and the initial conditions for these models in this case are that the density, the initial density, is decreases with a power law, and the rotational velocity is Keplerian in all the computational domain, and the radial velocity may be completely zero. It converges with these initial conditions, and we also see here the rapid drop in rotational velocity at some radius. We now consider it as unphysical, but we can avoid it in cases when we set the decreasing viscosity parameter or decreasing temperature parameter. I forgot to say that most recent works found the alpha viscosity parameter around 0.025 to our knowledge, but they consider it as a constant, but we regard it as an open problem. So we examine also the cases with the decreasing viscosity profile, and for some formal reasons we try also slightly increasing viscosity profile, but it does not give the proper solutions. So and I forgot to say, this is the isothermal case of the star with these parameters. It is a B0 type star with effective temperature 30,000 Kelvin and radius about 14 solar radii. And on the other picture, there is the same profiles, but with decreasing temperature with a power law similar to radius to minus 0.4. So here we can see that the sonic point is much farther from the star than in the isothermal case. Here we compare the same calculations. They are the 1D calculation for two types of star. It is the same B0 type star which were described before, and it is calculated for the theoretical case of this population 3 star with the effective temperature 30,000 Kelvin and the radius about 50 solar radii. And here we have the calculation for the B3 type star with those parameters. And on the left graph, it is the density, well, the inner boundary density here is the 0.025. Here, the inner boundary density is 0.1. And there are two cases of the viscosity distribution. The solid line shows the distribution being a constant, but this dotted or dashed line shows the cases when the viscosity decreases with this prescription. So it decreases until some hundred of stellar equatorial radii, and then it continues as a constant, being almost zero. But we see that the magnetorotational instability in both cases vanishes at some radius. And there is a question why the disk develops to the outer part or much farther when the magnetorotational instability disappear. So we assume that the reason is that in this region the radial velocity is very high, and the disk behaves like a freely flowing so. And okay. So, and as an edit, I've note only that everything is modeled on our own code. We developed our own one-dimensional, and now we proceed and we develop the two-dimensional code. And I, as an addition, I show, but this will be this, yeah, sorry. We started simulations. We started also 2D simulations. Here are the equations of the vertical structure. So here is the density, that is the vertical coordinate, and h is once again the vertical disk scale height, and the vertical thermal equilibrium looks like this, where this kappa is the opacity, fz is the vertical thermal flux, and gz is the vertical component of the gravity. And we simulated, but it will be only, or it has to be regarded only as a first step, because these are LTE simulations of the thermal and density structure. We tried to make a self-consistent simulations of the density and the temperature with this code. And the system is that we calculated the optical depth in the stellar direction and in the regions where the optical depth is higher than 0.25. No irradiated flux penetrates the gas, and the temperature is calculated like diffusion approximation. And below this optical depth, it is calculated as a vertical thermal and LTE radiative equilibrium. And in this calculation, we account for the stellar oblateness, the distorted shape of the critically rotating stars. We account for the gravity and limb darkening also. And these are examples of two cases when the stellar mass loss rate is 10 to minus 11 m solar masses per year, and this is the rather theoretical case with extremely high stellar mass loss rate, 10 to minus 7. But in case of these population 3 type stars, it may be valid. And here is in the middle part, in the mid-plane, there is a temperature caused by viscous dissipation in this case, because this temperature, but it is only some attempt, and this is, as I said, only the first step in calculating these things, because there is no NLTE NLTE calculations included in it. So the conclusions: the disk can extend to large distance, although barely observable. As Robert said, it can be observed in the radio wavelengths, probably. The sonic point distance depends on temperature and is almost independent of viscosity. Magnetorotational instability disappears at a certain radius, and the future work would be intent to proceed with. Okay.
Questions?
Pardon,
how did you calculate the alpha body distribution?
Yeah, alpha distribution. Alpha distribution is parametrized. Yeah, it is similar to the parametrization of temperature. We choose some parametrization of alpha.
So where did you take into account the MRI effect? Usually, MRI. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You mean this MRI in
one information?
Yeah, I had the same question.
Yeah.
You talk about the MRI instability mm-hmm. going away. What do you mean by that? You have the that the 1D models are purely
it was,
alpha disk.
There was calculated the angular frequency, the scaled angular frequency of the MRI. And in this place, it follows the equations of the magnetorotational instability. And on this radius, the MRI changes or it becomes a real number. Yeah, because the frequency is the complex number in this.
I mean, the critical value for determining whether you have MRI or not is whether K times V alphane is less than 3 times the orbital frequency.
Right.
So you can always find a K that's small enough that depends on what you assume about your magnetic perturbation. So I don't understand why the instability, why MRI goes away. What physics causes it to go away?
Yeah, because this MRI, this frequency, which was plotted there, it is the I omega over the rotational or angular velocity.
Yes.
Yeah, and
that's
this
the maximal growth rate.
Yes, and this I omega in this region becomes in farther distance doesn't behave like a wave, you know.
Wait, just because it's no longer coupled?
Yes.
Well, you're saying in the transonic region there's no MRI? Is that what you're saying? In the supersonic region where the sound speed and there's no MRI? Is that what you're saying? Does that a place occur at the sonic point or near the sonic point?
It is not exactly the sonic point. It is closer to the star than the sonic point. It has nothing to do exactly with the sonic point. This. Yeah.
Okay, well, we can talk afterwards.
Yeah, I think we have to move on. Okay, thanks. But again.
Yeah.